Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. I'm a bad motherfucker, ride it through the night. A 50 motherfucker.
I hate to cut Mike off, but how you doing, Herman?
What's up, my brother?
Not much. Just,
all right.
Just, I got a message today. You know how they, did the litmus test for the military?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got this thing today, and it says, Obama asked, will you shoot Americans? After Jim Gura was recently contacted by high-ranking military officials who implored him to reveal the truth about the litmus test that is being proposed by the administration to the military, asking the question, will you shoot Americans if they won't give you their gun? And they sent a little video along. So that's would you like to hear that video?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, brother.
Here we go. It's this titled Civil War and the Litmus Test. Will you shoot Americans if they won't give you their guns?
Ammunition as it took to fight the Iraq War.
You make some very interesting
I love full intelligent people, and you were recently contacted by one. Tell us a little bit about that and what this person had to say.
This was a bit of a surprise because this wasn't the normal phone call in the wee hours because they always mess up the time. This was a call from America, and it was a retired senior officer in the U.S. military who was quite upset that something was being done to his people, and he wanted to know if I would help him get the word out. Basically, the military officers were being asked, and he called it a litmus test himself, but that isn't my words, a litmus test, a way of finding out, do you fall on one side of the agenda or do you fall on the other side? Are you loyal to the Constitution and the rights, the Bill of Rights, the original intent of the founders and their writings? Are you there? Do you fall in that camp or do you fall into the camp of loyalty, fealty, abeyance to Mr. Obama? And so that was the question being asked. If in a scenario where you were asked to confiscate guns and the public, in spite of their Second Amendment rights to hold and have armaments, if they were refusing and you received an order as high up as the president, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, to take those arms and they were refusing, if the next order was to fire on American citizens, would you do it? That's the litmus test. Would you do it?
And why do you think the question is being posed? It appears they're getting their ducks in line and preparing for something. What do you think is the point of all this?
Even the body bags and the shells? You mean the preparation for internal war?
Yeah, tell us about the fact that the American government has just, the military, purchased, I believe it's 1.7 billion hollow point rounds. Does that tie into this?
Absolutely. Well, that shouldn't shock anyone. That 1.6, 1.7 billion rounds is merely to keep up with the population that have purchased the same number. I think the shock has been for Obama and crew is that the American public would react the way they have, given some of the moves that he's made. And I mean, they've tracked, you know, the actually when things happen. So if he's got a presidential executive order at this point in time, and the reaction has been that people have gone out en masse and bought, you know, a million new guns that next week. He realizes that he's to blame for what's happened. What he didn't think was that it would continue, that every time there was a new executive order, every time that there was something that caused fear out there about the loss of freedom or liberty on the part of Americans, their reaction was to go buy more guns. Go buy more guns, so there's armament, there's armor, and then there's provisioning. And so you've got this whole movement that has just gone crazy of people provisioning for an eventuality. When you see the government buying enough body bags to basically deal with half the population, you've got to say, wait a minute, what's this about? Enough shells to deal with the population, you know, 10 shots per person. You've got to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Set it up well, knowing full well what had happened with the British moving in, taking over your homes, taking over your beds, and sleeping with your wives. I mean, let's not forget, you know, the extent to which it went. Under law, all of it legal. The litmus test that this gentleman referenced and asked me to share is a very real thing. Will you, in fact, shoot Americans if they won't give you your guns? That's the question being asked at the highest level of military, and that question, of course, will be descending in ranks. And the phone-in shows, we've had 40 American military officers phone in and say that, in fact, yes, the litmus test is taking place. Either we've been directly witness to it and have been asked the question ourselves, or we've heard from others just slightly above us in rank who've said, you won't believe what they're asking.
Considering we're so integrated with the American military forces and Canadian authorities are beginning to become more and more integrated with the Americans, how do you think this might affect Canadians should some type of martial law type scenario happen in the States?
Well, I think you know that we'll be drawn in by virtue of treaty, by virtue of agreement, and whether it's a nudge-nudge, wink-wink handshake by the good fellows, you know, Mr. Harper and Mr. Obama, there is an implication there for involvement one with the other. You mentioned martial law. Well, there's already an agreement in place that says if martial law is declared in one country, that the other country can be asked to send their troops into that country. How far does this go? Does there need to be an invitation? Or if martial law is declared in one country, are you, in fact, then able to move into the other country with troops without an invitation? How far does this go?
In your opinion, is in their mind, are the people who may be of interest to fire upon?
Yeah, well, they've identified Christians, they've identified troops coming back as, you know, from the different wars. And, of course, I have to say this, they're accurate in that, because it has to do with loyalties. Where do the loyalties lie? Christians, loyalty lies to God. Troops coming back, they actually believe in the Constitution. They believe in the nation as a whole. They don't believe in dictatorship. They fought against that kind of stuff. So they're coming back with a different foci, and they're also a different loyalty base. You know, it's a changing of the guard. It's doing away with the old loyalties and bringing in the young kids who don't have those loyalties. They are now being given new loyalties and taught how to bow the knee. Obama was smart to say that returning military could be labeled as terrorists, because of all the people who have the skills, have the organizational ability, and have the inclination to protect the country, those are the very people who would be the first ones to undo everything that Obama's doing. It's for real. It's so real to my mind that I've heard enough authority, enough people with sufficient authority, including former governors, senators, military people, admiral, general level, those people, they're all preparing. We are in precarious days. Sovereignty means nothing to them. When you see the moves of Obama, you really understand what he's done. He is a criminal in the White House. So if that's the case, how far do criminals go to win? All the way.
Yeah, it is, man. It certainly is. It was difficult listening to some of that because it was a lot of static on this end. But I got the thing. I got the gist of it. And going on, my brother. I don't know what it takes for people to wake up. What do you make of all that?
You know, I've been watching where the Homeland Security has been buying all the rounds, and it's basically like he said. They're side by side. Just trying to see whoever can get the most. And, you know, there's a, like John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
We got a real mess happening here in this country, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I'm at a loss for words because I see these young kids every day today. I talked to two of them today who don't have a clue on what's going on.
No.
They believe what they're told.
It's insane. I know what needs to be done. Many of us know what needs to be done. But, I don't know, people buy the bullshit. They buy the bullshit. I don't understand.
I'm going to, I'll send you that link so you can check that out for yourself.
Yeah, please. Please do. So what's been going on, man, since our last show there? Brad was on and that young lady from Australia.
Yeah, they're supposed to be here tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to be out of here. I'm going to be here with you for the first hour, but if they do come on after, then just remind Brad that I'm still waiting on that information he was going to try to get to me. I know that he was leaving town, but he was going to try to get me some information before he left.
Eva had messaged me that she was going to try and talk to him and get it for me, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what's been going on, my brother? How's everything with you?
Working 7-10s, sometimes 12, running into like 14, 15-hour days.
Wow.
And then trying to answer people's questions. Like right now, Melody wrote in that Obama needs to go. What do we need to do to get him out, and what high rank courts or whom?
Yeah.
And she wants to know, how do we do it?
Well, the answer to that is the people that are assigned to his details, whether they're Secret Service or CIA or Marines or Army, whoever they are, and he's got a bunch of them around him. As I was talking about before, have sworn to an oath. They've taken an oath to defend this country from enemy, both foreign and domestic, and to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, to defend that Constitution. They took an oath. They put their name to that. It's why they got the jobs they have. It's why they get a paycheck. They're the people that need to take him under arrest. They actually can arrest him. They can do it. They can arrest him because...
They can arrest anybody.
Yeah, he's just a person. He's people are afraid of him like he's some kind of a fucking god, and he ain't shit. As a matter of fact, he is shit. He's a piece of shit. But they need to arrest him and hold him accountable and charge him with treason. And the people around him are responsible for letting him get away with the treason that he's getting away with. Because he couldn't do it if he was under arrest. He couldn't do it if they took him down. He couldn't do it. And the people that he represents, we all know now, is not the American people, is the banking cartels. You know, we hear so much about the drug cartels, and we hear, about the mafias and the gangs and all of that. Well, there's no bigger gang or cartel in this world than the banking cartels and the shitbags in the White House. They're the biggest fucking cartel on this planet. So, when you get down to it and you get down to the real nitty-gritty and the truth of it all, we've got gangsters running not only the country and the White House. These fuckers are running the world now. They're trying to grab the whole world. And there's only one way to deal with them. And if I have to answer that, then, it's pretty pitiful when people out there, let me put it to you this way. Women that have been in abusive physical relationships, right, have tried to get away from the abuser only to have the abuser track them down, or they many times are psychologically put in a place where they feel they can't break away from the abuser, and the abuse continues. Many women have actually killed the abuser and gotten away with it in court because they were put under such circumstances and duress and physical and psychological danger that the only way out was to take that kind of action. And whether it's an abuser at home beating his wife or his children, or an abuser abusing the people of the country, I mean, if you can't make the abuser stop the abuse, you have to make the abuser stop the abuse. So, I think there's an answer to that in and of itself. What the people that are in control want are for people like myself, yourself, Philip, and others, and Alex Jones. And
they want obedient workers.
They want obedient workers, but they don't want people
enough
like
to just run the machines and do the paperwork and shut the fuck up.
Exactly. But as long as people are doing that, it's just going to keep getting worse, And so that's why. And Obama and his crew know the answer to that riddle. They know that the only way to stop an abuser is to stop the abuser, no matter how You have to stop them. And so that's why they're out to get everybody's guns. That's why they want everybody's guns. You know, at some point, people have to ask themselves, really, wake up and ask themselves, why are they trying to get the guns away from law-abiding citizens and yet doing nothing to the kids on the street that are killing each other and even providing the drug cartels, the Mexican drug cartels, with weapons? Our government gives them fucking weapons so they can kill people. Thousands of people die over there in turf battles over the drug business.
I have never seen any of those where bring me your gun and we'll give you a ticket to the ball game or whatever. I've never seen those guns destroyed.
No. You know, here's the thing. They end up elsewhere. They go to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is an enemy to this country. They go to the drug cartels, which is an enemy not only to the country but to the world at large. And so is, by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood. They're a threat to the entire world, to humanity. And so we have a president and an administration that is okay with feeding those people weapons but taking them away from law-abiding paying citizens. By the way, our taxes pay for those shitbags in the fucking White House to keep all those son of a bitches over there in arms and money because they send them billions of dollars, billions, okay? Now, the answer for those people that have a problem trying to come up with the answer as to why would they want law-abiding citizens, handguns and weapons and rifles, the answer is very simple. Because they know that at some point, most people are going to say, enough is enough or fucking ready. And they will stop the abuser. That's what they're afraid of. And I say afraid. They are afraid. They are shitting in their pants. They are fucking, their boots are clacking together because there's only a handful of these assholes, and there's billions of people on this planet. If you believe
the question I'd like to ask, would you shoot a person acting as a dictator in America?
Well, that person is the one that's telling people in our military that they want the military that's supposed to protect Americans and uphold our constitutional rights. They want them to shoot Americans if they don't give up their guns freely. By the way, we have a constitutional right to have those guns. So we have a black man in the White House who happens to be a Muslim Brotherhood piece of shit telling our military that he wants them to shoot Americans who refuse to give up their constitutional rights to bear arms. Where the fuck does this piece of shit get off doing that? He's not even an American. And he's got people here scared of him. He's got people here that most of them are scared of him, which is people will do anything when they're in fear. Hitler proved that. Look at the people that followed Hitler.
Now, well, look what happened after the Korean War.
Absolutely. So you know, you look at, and this is historic. It's been going on for years and years and years. I mean, even before there was the internet, even before there was, you know, jet planes and stuff. I mean, you know, certain people want power. That's it. They get their rocks off on telling the people what to do. And they're the ones that need to be taken down and removed from power. It's not the people that are law-abiding citizens that are paying the taxes, that are paying everybody else's salary. We're paying the son of a bitch's salary to fuck us. How's that? How the fuck is that? And we're letting him get away with it. Now, I hold those people directly accountable, the people closest to him, that are supposed to arrest him. They're supposed to throw his ass in jail and go get the bankers, take the bankers out. How the fuck can you be afraid of, like, six people? That's all there is, six major banks. There's six fucking guys that head up those banks, six fucking people running just about the whole world right now, and they've got people scared of them. Now, do you recall the movie Gangs of New York? Do you recall that movie?
Yeah.
In that movie, at some point, the people in the streets and the poor people had enough, and they went to the, I don't know if it was the mayor or whatever he was, the guy who was running Tammany Hall, and they went to all the rich people's houses, and they just took over. They some of them burnt the houses, some of them beat them up and did that, but, you know, in the end, in that movie, That guy was a very powerful guy. Those politicians were very powerful people, but when the people rose up, they couldn't stop them. They couldn't stop them. And you know, and the thing is, it's that's proof positive. I know it was a movie, but listen, let me tell you something, Philip. You and I, let's say you and I are in a parking lot. We got an army tank. We have a couple of machine guns. I mean, we got all kinds of weapons, and we got hand grenades. We got all kinds of shit, right? And 10 or 15 people come after us and attack us. Well, we can take care of them, no problem with the shit we got, right? Yeah. All right, 300 people show up. We can do them too,
help
right?
From above, sniper on the roof.
Right. So 300 or 400 people show up, we can do them too, right? Okay. A million people show up. 100,000 people fucking show up. 200,000 people. 10 million people show up. We got a problem. We got a problem.
Yeah.
No matter how many hand grenades we got a fucking problem. And that's really how simple it is. You look at the equation. You look at the whole thing, the problem, and the answer is, well, wait a minute, numbers, 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 numbers. You know, I keep up to what basically is going on in this country. I listen to the bullshit from the mainstream or lamestream media, whatever you want to call them. I go to Drudge Report. I go to a few other websites. I go to Alex Jones. I listen to Alex Jones. And you know as well as I know that Congress is trying to push through legislation where they'll be able to dictate who is media and who is not. And they're talking about putting guidelines in. Like if you didn't go to like Columbia University or whatever, and if you don't work for NBC, CBS, ABC, or CNN or Fox, then you're simply not going to be considered media. Who the fuck are they to determine who the fuck is media or not? Who the fuck are they? I have no respect for them, none whatsoever. They do no respect. They have no respect coming. No respect coming. And
no, I mean I have a media pass, and
But do you see, if they get away with doing what they're doing, Phil, we won't have shows. They're going to shut us all down. They're going to shut us all down off the Internet. They're going to shut us all down and just take us off the Internet. They're going to take us off the air. I mean, you're not going to be able to do a show on a radio station. Do you understand? This is what they're after. Because we speak the truth, and they don't want the truth. They don't want the people hearing the truth because they know. Phil, they know that people are starting to wake up and the truth is freaking everybody out. And the truth is what's going to fuck these people over because they've been lying to the people way too long and they've been taking advantage of the people way too long. And they're afraid that the people are going to wake up before they get to run their end game. That's what it's all about, Phil.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I don't know if I answered that young lady's question or not, but I think that she should be able to answer herself the question herself. I think maybe she may have even had the answer to the question before she asked the question.
Yeah.
But you know the thing is that this is a very, very serious thing that's going on in our country. It's never happened like this before in this country ever. We're seeing, what we're experiencing is historic. And how it ends, because it's going to get fucking ugly, because these people are coming after everything. And depending on whether or not you want to just bend over and spread your cheeks or not, either way, it's going to be ugly. You know, because they're afraid of the people that are going to stand up to them, but at the same time, they despise the people that they fucking knuckle under.
I know. I've been telling people this for a long time.
That's true. And you've been spreading the truth, and, you know, I keep doing what I do out here on this end. I'll be back on the air in January doing my show again, starting January. I was going to come out and start it in December, but I figured, I'll wait for the new year. That'll start it off right, the new year. I got some other plans to do another television show out here that we're going to run on the Internet as well. I'm busy. I didn't run away. I didn't run away to hide or anything. I needed time to try and make all the pieces fit, you know, and get the right people in the right backing in order and everything, because everything costs money. You know, it's a pain in the ass, but everything costs money. And it looks like we're going to be doing this, and we're not going to utilize YouTube, you know, even though it's a great vehicle. They're clamping down on that as well. So yeah. YouTube is starting to, they're starting to censor people and take their videos off and that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're going to be doing it independently. It won't be as big as YouTube, but we'll certainly, our TV shows and our broadcasts will attract millions of people. And, you know, the whole thing is with the IT thing, getting the right IT guy. We got a guy that's just about on board. The final thing is with him, again, is money. You know, I mean, nobody wants to do nothing for nothing. And the people that have more expertise seem to want more money, and it's understandable. But, you know, it takes time getting all the right players in place because, Phil, as you know, you can have – the greatest IT people in the world. You can have the greatest copywriters in the world, but if they buckle under, if they cave into the government pressure, then they're not worth anything to me. You know what I mean? They can destroy your productions as quick as they can make it a successful one. So
that's
you know,
true.
Difficult. You know, it's difficult, Philip. You know, you're doing a radio show. You know that these things don't come without their hassles. It isn't all fun
and games. January 1st for me is 5 years.
5 years. Can you imagine that? It's all 4 years for me came in November, so you'll be up 5 years on January 1st. That's beautiful. You going to have an anniversary show or something?
Yeah. Hopefully I get the white-haired guy to show up for a couple hours.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be real good.
He's halfway through what he needs to get done.
Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you give him you send him my regards when you talk to him, would you please?
I will.
Yeah.
I get hit up about 3 or 4 times a day because they'll call the shop and not know that he's not there. His schedule changes daily, so.
Yeah.
I'm the next thing to find out where he's at.
Yeah.
And then I got people asking for a cell phone number, and I'm like, well, what's it about?
Yeah.
Is it life? Is someone going to die if you don't talk to him? No.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to bother him for something like that. But
I hear you.
You got, we got a caller from 708. Is that you, Nora?
Yeah. Hi, Phil. Hi, Hermes.
Hello.
Nora, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not bad for an old guy. Still plugging away here.
That's
still
okay.
Plugging away.
We have a new thing taking place that I want to say within a month. The legislation is already passed in regards for illegal immigrants to obtain a driver's license here.
Yes, it did. Remember, I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago on the show, about 500,000 of them. So it passed through, did it?
Yes.
Yeah, because now that's another 500,000 votes they have.
Well, yeah, almost. They're not quite there yet, but they're setting it up. Getting a license and voting are two separate things. But you're right, Phil, that's right behind it. Once they pave the way to give them a license to drive, I mean, it's so illegal. Think about what's going on. Illegal immigrants, illegal. They're illegal. Give them a license to drive. That's illegal. You have to be a resident. You have to be a citizen to have a – so two illegal acts, both – condoned by the government that's supposed to be enforcing the laws, but yet the an American, a real American, us people, us guys and girls, getting fucked over on a regular basis, and by the way, paying the bill
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, you know, I said it before. If I knew I was going to get butt fucked, at least give me a reach around.
You know, something, yeah. You know, give me a dinner with the fucking thing. You know, kiss my ears. Or lie to me. Tell me you love me. Don't mistreat me like that, you know?
Right. Now, what I wanted to ask, Phil, with your granddaughter, by any chance, did she receive a flu shot at 1?
I think so, yes.
Now, what I'm trying to find out, because my grandson just had his first year checkup yesterday, okay?
I just got mine.
So, did you really? Good for you. So, now we know in regards to that chip, the RFID, is that? The RIF. you know, that they want to implant. And they want to do it in children. Now, is that only for children that are on state insurance, or is that on both state insurance and on private
for
insurance?
For everybody.
For everybody.
Whether
I was appalled.
Whether you're right, white, black, red, pink, purple, polka dot, whatever,
right.
Everybody, that's where they're going. They're going to get all the youngsters, chips, and then go on.
Right. That's what I'm talking about is that chip, because I don't know if they've passed it yet and if they've already put it in my grandson or if they haven't gotten to that point yet.
I can't put it in there without letting you know that.
Okay.
Did you say they can't do it without letting you know that?
To your kid, yeah.
No. No, they're beyond that. As a matter of fact, there's action here in this state where there's a couple that and while I'm talking to you, I'm going to try and find it. It's taking the school system to court because what they started doing is giving vaccines in the schools without permission, without even asking the parents, without telling the parents. In junior high schools and high schools, what they're doing is they're saying that we don't need your what they do is they put it on the kids and they say, well, you don't need your parents' consent because you're pretty much an adult now, aren't you? And you're a kid. You have to go to your parents for everything. So what they do is they fuck with the kid's head and you know in junior high school and high school, kids want to feel like, you know, yeah, my parents shouldn't be able to tell me what the fuck to do. You know, you remember, you were there, right? So the kids, and what they do is they're starting to entice them with free tickets to, like, football games, like pro football games and dances and concerts if they take the injections. And this is going on.
Yeah, but they
on.
Don't know
this
that.
Going on.
Don't they still believe free is free. There's always
yeah,
a price tag.
Yeah, because they don't know any better.
There's always a price tag.
Yeah. So, but what it is that not only are they putting this chip into these kids, it's also a way to get them to take their newly untried and untested genetically modified organisms that they want to get into people to see how they react. Interesting thing. Nora, have you heard about PCDH19?
No.
It is. Okay. Well, let me give you a brief rundown on this. If you go over to my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/MassYankFan, there's a video I put up today from a benefit that I videotaped. A friend of mine's daughter has this. I had never heard of it until my friend's daughter came up ill with this. It's called PCDH19 Female Epilepsy. It's just only females, babies, younger adults, just females. It's something that started happening not too long ago, fairly recent, fairly new.
Right.
Some of the symptoms are compatible to the symptoms of autism, which we all know already. Autism. Probably 80% of the autism today is caused by genetically modified organisms,
right.
by the foods and by the vaccines. And so if you go to there, or you can either check that out or go to PCDH19info.org. You can
okay.
find out some more about this. Now, this is something that's starting to take off like wildfire. It's epidemic, and it only strikes females, young females. And I think maybe you should have a look at this and start getting the word out there. Phil, you as well, please, with your show, because the ladies need to understand that they're being targeted. They're being targeted.
Right.
And they're being targeted by the same people that are trying to lock us up and take over this world. So they
right.
don't want American women reproducing.
Well, no, and I understand that because, you know, I mean, Phil knows, but you don't. when my grandson was born, he was born with craniosynostosis, okay, which is, we already had the genetics testing done the other last week, so we won't know for a month in regards to the genetics broad part of it, okay? So when he was born, his head was caved in. It looked like his nose was broken. His eyes weren't aligned right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do craniofacial surgery. They just did that in October. So, which is unbelievable. But, I'm seeing her, and I've never heard of this before. Never. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a mom. I'm now a newly grandmom. And I'm sitting there thinking, how does someone get this? If they say genetics, okay, well, are you sure it's genetics? Are you sure it's not something that could have been, you know, put in by food or something? You know, they say that one in every 2,000 babies are born with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's the case, have you ever heard of it?
No, but I'll tell you what, honestly, from what you're saying, and just about every disease that the kids are being born with now, you know, it's very rare to have today, this day and age, it's extremely rare to have a child born that doesn't have some kind of a defect. It's rare.
Exactly.
It used to be the other way around. It used to be really rare to have a child born with a defect.
Exactly.
But it's everything that they're putting in our food, not only in our food, all right, because let's face it, when companies like Monsanto spend $40, $50, $60 million in one state to prevent from having to label what's in their foods, something's not fucking right, okay? And the other thing is not just that, it's the water, the fluoride. The fluoride issue has been going on for years, okay? We keep hearing about fluoride in the water. It's good for your teeth. They put it in the toothpaste. Fluoride is a cancer-causing agent. So we all know that,
right?
Now, so it's the food. It's the water. You know, occasionally I remember joking, we'd go somewhere and people would be like, you know, fucking slow to move around or whatever. And we'd joke and say, it must be in the water down here. Ha, ha, ha. It is. We didn't know how right we were.
Right.
Add to that the geoengineering, which they call, is actually the dumping of the chemicals out of those aircraft onto us from the heavens above. And they're intentionally, purposely making us sick and trying to destroy this planet. That's what's happening. Now, you know, I got no other answer other than why would any government allow anybody or any business or any entity to dump toxins into the air, into the water, and inject them in foods? Why? Now, I don't have the exact answer for that.
Right.
But I think it's a good place that people out there that are listening to the broadcast, and everywhere I go, I'm waking people up. And when I tell them that, people will say to me, but why would they do that? And I say the same thing to them now. I used to try to, like, really educate them on it, and it's like you can't. I say to them, you know, that's a good fucking question. Why don't you ask your senator? Why don't you ask your president? Why would you allow that? Because the only answer I come up with is it's intentional, and they want to cause us harm.
Right.
So much so that they're forcing people into this Obamacare the website doesn't work, and that's intentional.
Right.
That's intentional as well. I have a personal friend, I discussed her once before on the show, that headed up the IT years ago for Digital Corporation. All over the world, he was in charge of 18 countries in several different languages. He never went over $65 million budget for all of that. Here's our government telling us they spent $800 million on a website that doesn't fucking work. Get the fuck out of here. Sell that shit somewhere else. But you know what? People buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or how many people have been accepted on the website to get a letter stating that they've been denied?
Well, you know, the thing is, people think that because it's supposed to be the Affordable Health Care Act, it's not affordable. There is no health care there. See, what people missed the whole thing. They missed it's in broad daylight. They missed the whole thing. We already have affordable insurance in this country. We've already got free care in this country.
Right.
If people can't pay for medical care and they show up at a hospital, they get treated. If people make not enough money to get by on or whatever, they can get what's known here in this state. Most states have their own version. We call it mass health in this state. And if they don't, and then if they don't, right? That's a Massachusetts program in conjunction with a federal program. Then you have Medicaid and Medicare. All right.
Right.
There's already health care out there for people that are strapped.
Yeah.
So Obama comes along and says, I'm going to give you affordable health care. And these people are so fucking stupid. They're like, oh, okay, we'll go for that. And, oh, what's the affordable health care? None. You don't get it. You can't even get on the fucking website.
Here, hold on. I got a caller from 858. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Is that you, Art?
Yeah, that's me. I'm out here.
Hi, Art.
Hey, Nora. Hey, I'm doing good. Doing good. Good to hear Hermes.
Hey, how you doing out there, brother?
Doing well.
Awesome.
How you feel about this, Art? Give me your two cents.
I have to agree with Hermes that this is a load of crap they're feeding us. But they're trying to, sounds to me like they're just trying to tear up our system, and then they'll have to turn to the government.
Yeah. Exactly. What do you think of this? I think that it's because that if you're in debt, if people are indebted to you, you have control over them. If you have the extension of credit for a long time was one of the biggest forms of control ever, where they would extend people credit, and once people owe money, you got them. They owe you. I mean, they're yours. If you're giving them food, which is, you know, Obama put an additional 45 million Americans on food stamps. Instead of trying to reduce the food stamp rolls, he put an additional 45 million people on, and now he wants them to come crying to him and begging for health care and everything else. What happens then is they have total control over your lives. They'll shut down, and people think that this is insane, that this is what they're heading for. They'll shut down power plants. They're going to shut down supermarkets, and they're going to say, oh, by the way, we got food. You want food? You want heat? You want lights? It's over here in this FEMA camp. Come get it.
Yeah. You know, I was reading about a lot of the old bases, and they're stocked with soldiers from other countries. I saw one that has the capability of holding 18,000 people. All the surrounding fields are barbed wire facing in, not out. And there's tower lights to light up the fields, as well as cameras right below those lights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you make of this mess, Art? Because there was a young lady earlier, not too long ago, that typed in a message about how do we get out of this? What do we do? I mean, what do you make of this whole thing, Art?
Well, you know, as I see them, they're basically overriding the Constitution. They're making their own laws and doing what they want. And I put something on Facebook that was up there about, and I asked if anybody was listening, and it was at Congress, and one of the people told them that with the president basically doing whatever he wants and overriding the Constitution, it could lead to an uprising and an overthrow of the government. You don't really want to say that out in public because there's always ears listening.
Yeah,
the reality
is
people are going to get tired at one point, and they're going to get fed up. And when you've got nothing left to lose, they've got no hold on you at that point.
Right. What do you think of this, though? I've heard this in debating people and arguing with this with people over this. Some people have made the argument that that that's what the government wants. They want an altercation with the people so that they then have the excuse, like they need one, right? But they want a good excuse to clamp down and implement martial law. And so what they're saying, these people that I debate and talk to on a regular basis are saying that they really want that so that they can take all the control all at once and then march into people's homes, take their guns and everything, because it's martial law. You have to give it up. It's a time of emergency. And the dictator that we have now, he's not a president, he's a dictator. We'll make it official. He's a dictator. Once he does that, by the way, one of the other things that takes place that most people are probably not seeing clearly or missing altogether is there will be no elections. Everything stops. Who's ever in office stays in office. There will be no elections.
That's correct.
And people need to think about that. They need to think about that long and hard. You know, I think there's something to be said for that argument. What do you think?
I agree. But the one thing that people have to think about is when they did that down in New Orleans and they went around and took all the guns, afterwards the court came out and said that that was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Obama wouldn't listen, or any of his administration, that even if they declared martial law, that doesn't void the Constitution and your right to your rights.
Well, here's another thing that I you know, because I think I spend much more time than I should on this, on these topics, because it causes great concern in my life, because I'm an American and I want nothing but the best. I'm accustomed to the best. I want my children, well, my children are grown. I got grandchildren. I want them to live in the best country in the world. I don't want them to live under Muslim rule, a fucking savage that we have in the White House. I don't want them to have to bow down to this piece of shit or anybody.
Well, Nancy Pelosi said that they won't hate the West anymore once we go into Sharia law.
Yeah, well, that's going to be, it's easier said than done. That bitch is, it's easier said than done. But, you know, getting back to you got people that are taking our way of life away from us. They're just taking it away from us, our way of life. And men and women have died in many, many wars to guarantee us, Americans, this way of life. You know, we don't need to fucking go down a step or two to be equal to a country that's poorer than us. Fuck that. This was the country that was number one for as long as I've been alive in everything, okay, in technology, in education, in productivity, in everything. And it needs to stay number one. We don't have to go down to the bottom of the barrel like those fucking desert fucking riders out in the Middle East. Fuck that. We got the biggest and the best country in the world, and it's ours, and we need to keep it that way. And these scumbags that are coming in from different parts of the world telling us how we're going to do shit need to be sent back. Now, if they don't want to go back on airplanes by their own free will, then maybe body bags. But this shit really needs to stop, because, you know, this is something that's taking place here that's really happening. This ain't a fucking movie. This is not a dress rehearsal. This shit's happening. And Americans that still have a half of an ounce of a brain left need to just, they don't need to wake up anymore. They need to get past the waking up shit. You know, this is very real. It's very ugly.
Let me, I found that link that Art was talking about. Let me play that real quick.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to let me play it. Nope. They're not going to let me play it.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe they're in there already.
Hey, Art, what do you think about this, Art? On that New Orleans thing, you know, you were right about that, and the courts came back and said, no, you can't be doing this. More and more in this country, federal judges are starting to bow down to Obama. I suspect, I don't have any hardcore proof, but I suspect something like this may be at play. you know how the National Security Agency has been tapping everybody's phones and listening to all the conversations and grabbing all the emails and stuff, and they've been doing that for years. They've been doing that for a long fucking time. They didn't just start doing that. I suspect that maybe, just maybe, you know, they got information on a lot of these judges that may be very uncomfortable if their wives picked up on it, you know what I mean? Or it could cost them their job on the bench. Now, you know, to a stand-up American, to a stand-up male, you know, black male wouldn't hold water. They'd stand up and say, well, you know what, if it cost me my job to show that you're a scumbag for trying to pull this shit, then so be it. But people today are so weak-minded in this country. They'll fucking crumble down to keep their jobs and stuff. I suspect they might have an awful lot on some of these judges, and hopefully I'm wrong, but I think that as those cases wind their way through the court system and end up in the federal courts, especially the Supreme Court, that those judges that they have the goods on are going to turn on the people and side with the criminals. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right there, and I think they've also used it to get rid of a lot of the senior military that would stand up against them also. A lot of senior officers have been relieved of command and forced into retirement. A lot of the leaders.
Over 200.
Yeah.
Hey, a lot of them are also, I don't know if you guys heard the other day, the captain in charge of the air wing on the Carl Vinson, his aide took home the laptop computer with the program on it. So the guy's wife went through the computer looking to see what he was doing, and she let the story leak that the guy in charge of the air wing was having an affair with one of his lieutenants.
Oh, really? Does that surprise anybody that human beings are acting like human beings? I mean, look, not right, okay, but look, if take President Clinton, all right? I'm no fan of President Clinton. I'm no fan of any president that's come along since John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And even he wasn't perfect, but fuck, at least they killed him because he wasn't going to go along with this shit. That's why he got killed. Now, you know, Americans, people in the Middle East, anywhere, people have natural desires. Natural. These are God-given desires for sex, to be with someone else, to have a partner in life, all right? Some people take it too far, but these are natural desires. For someone to be having a desire to be with another person is natural, okay? If you're married, then you should know better, and you don't act on those desires. You shouldn't be acting on those desires, right? But when someone does, and they want to use it to destroy the person's job and such, right? Well, and I got to question myself, I question their motives because, Jesus Christ, the people that are going to fire that person or hold him accountable and say that that's like, you know, a conduct unbecoming an officer or whatever, those very people are doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah, they,
you know what
they,
I mean?
They were going to charge him with adultery.
An adultery, come on. I hear you, but when's the last time anybody's been charged with adultery in this country? You know, it doesn't happen. So they, if they go after him, it's because he's not going to play their game. So they're going to destroy him because, you know what, he's not playing our game. But we're going to use this adultery thing that they're all fucking guilty of. All of them are guilty of. They're going to use it against him to get rid of him. Now, I can't think of in Massachusetts, I really can't. I'm 61 years old, and I can't think of one fucking case ever coming across where they actually used that for a divorce proceeding. I mean, all kinds of other things, but not that. You know, it's just like, you know, you take President Clinton. I mean, okay, what'd they prove? They proved that the guy had sexual feelings towards somebody that he had working in the White House with him. And it also proved, beyond that, check this out, because we keep hearing how bad he was for doing that. Oh, she played a role in it, didn't she?
Yeah.
Fuck, nobody makes her out to be bad. She was grabbing a married guy. And she thought, that's all right. But to hear the people tell the story, he's the dirty bastard. but she's like a victim. Victim. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, so when we get stories like that, like the general that was forced to retire not too long ago because supposedly he had a gambling problem. He didn't have a gambling problem. The problem he had was he wasn't going to go along with Obama's bullshit. So they start weeding people out. And since they killed that news reporter, the kid there, Hastings, Michael Hastings, and they just about got busted on that. And since Benghazi's been up Obama's ass ever since he pulled it, you know, killing a general or two probably isn't in his best interest right now. So what they do is they destroy them with the information, destroy them in the media with the information, the hand-picked media. And that's why they're removing these guys, because these guys, they're not playing ball. But I honestly hope that these guys will take it one step further than refusing to play ball. Many of these men have access to some great warriors. Many of these men have access to the kind of artillery it's going to take to stop these bastards. And I just hope that they really come to terms with themselves and do what's right, what's in the best interest for America. Not their own personal bank account, not even for their own personal family. You see, because if America benefits, then their family does as well. I mean, I may be wrong. What do you think?
I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. There is no easy fix.
Well, you know, the easiest fix is, believe it or not, I mean, the easiest fix is to have the people that are in the position that are being thrown out because they're not going to play along. They still have access to people in high places. They still have access to intel. They still have access to places around the world. I mean, these people are plugged in big ways. Just because you remove someone from their office doesn't mean that everything they've built up over the years is gone. I just hope that these people can come to terms with what's best for this country. Paul Revere, if we believe the history we were taught of our country, people like Paul Revere, people like George Washington, I mean, think about that. If that's true, and I believe it's true, but if it's true, here are people that, not just George himself, he had an army, he had a militia, he had people with him, marching across some of the coldest terrain in this country during the snow and across rivers and freezing country, the greatest country in the world. Now, we got some soft-ass, fucking punk-ass, fucking dick-sucking fucking generals out here that are living cushy fucking lives with jets and fucking starlets and prostitutes and all kinds of shit. I hope they wake the fuck up and do what's best for this country and not their cock, because a lot of people paid a big price to put this country where it used to be before this fucking piece of shit came from his Muslim Brotherhood to destroy this country.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know anything. What they did was the generals, because of the sequester and the budget, they've taken away all their stuff. They've taken away per diem. They've taken away all kinds of stuff. And now they got to live on their salary. So basically they're all scared of what the fuck to do.
Well, you know what? Nothing motivates someone to do the right thing more than fear. And I hope they get fearful enough to finally do the right thing. Because you know what? Things are the way they are now, in part due to their ignoring the signs. Look, Obama didn't pull this shit off in the last 2 months. This has been going on for several years now.
Yep.
Those generals were in their positions when he started pulling this shit. The signs were fucking clear. They were clear to me. I've been yelling and screaming ever since that motherfucker got elected the first time. So if they were clear to me, a guy that knows nothing about military strategy, a guy that knows nothing about intel, I have no clearances whatsoever, never mind top secret clearance, I got nothing. And if it's plain as sight to me that this guy's a piece of shit and he's trying to destroy this country early on, how could they not see it? So they're partly to blame. You know, that's I mean, really, think about it. And if they're generals and they're sitting at the Pentagon and all of this shit's going on and they don't see it, then you know what? They need to be thrown in jail for the rest of their lives anyway for being fucking, you know, the treason, allowing treason to take place under their watch.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, it's easy for someone to sit back and like I do here, and people say, "Ah, you're sitting back, you're saying shit from back there and everything." Most people don't realize just how an affront this is to the people that are trying to destroy this country. They don't want people like me. They don't want people like Phil. They don't want people like any Alex Jones. They don't want people like us around to tell the people what's really happening. This is dangerous. People don't think so. It is dangerous to be speaking out against these people. It doesn't stop me because I believe in this country. I believe in my Constitution of the United States. I believe in the rights that men and women died to give me. I believe in their honor. I believe in their spirit. I refuse to let some piece of shit come from another part of the world to tell me how the fuck I'm going to live in my country. Fuck them. And if I can't live like an American in America, fuck them. Plain and simple. This shit, what I do, and I do it all the time, is in their face, standing up to them, making people aware of what the fuck is going on. Not only on a national level and a global level, I attack local issues as well, because it needs to be done. That's not a popular position with the people that are trying to pull the scam off. These people are killers. They're murderers. They've murdered people all over the world. They're proven fucking murderers. It's not really prudent to piss off murderers. But the thing is, they're going to come get you anyway, people. These people are out to destroy this country. Better off dying in the battle than dying and wishing you were in the battle. I mean, so what when people say, because I'm one for saying to people, what are you going to do about it? And a lot of people have said to me, well, what do you do about it? And I tell them, I put my ass on the line on a regular basis because they've been locking people like us up for a few years now. Radio show hosts, reporters, they've been killing reporters. They've been locking them up. They've been raiding their homes. They're out to get people like us. I'm doing something about it. If we all did something about it, it wouldn't be happening. They wouldn't get away with what they're trying to get away with. They haven't pulled it off yet. They haven't pulled it off yet. We can still knock them out of the park. But it takes people that have the balls to stand up to tyranny. It takes people that have the balls to stand up to evil, because that's what it is. It's evil. And I'm not saying that it's going to be a fight between evil and good in a biblical sense, okay? Because many Christians are not too fucking, they're not too Christian-like either. But the bottom line is what's taking place is there's one side that wants to dominate all of us, crush us, make us do what they want us to do. And there's another side of it. There are people who want to live free. They just don't want to be bothered. They don't bother nobody. What bothered us? You know what I mean? Leave us alone. Fucking shit was working good here before 2008. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? And so that other side is evil. I'm convinced, because anything that wants to take over the good, anything that wants to crush the good and wants to snuff out love has to be evil. And so, you know, if you're a good, kind person and a caring person and a loving person, if you have family, if you have children, you have grandchildren, and you sit by and do nothing,
then I got news for all of you out there listening. And you can all be mad at me. I don't care. You know what? You being mad at me ain't going to stop what's going on. If you got grandchildren and children out there and you do nothing, then you're a bigger piece of shit than Obama. Plain and simple.
I agree.
Because that fucker can't pull it off. That fucker can't pull it off unless we let him. So I guess I'm making a lot of friends out here tonight, Phil.
I don't know. People just don't like the truth.
Yeah.
You know, Phil, it's funny. Nora and I, anybody out there listening, I got to tell you a little. It's humorous to me on occasion, but when I was incarcerated for several years in the federal prison system, and there were some people in there that the government calls them made men and mafia families. The government refers to them as like a mafia family guys, right? Organized crime guys. And I would sit there, and I got to meet some of these people that the government claims are these people. I don't claim that they're those people. I don't know what they're. I was there for doing something I did. You meet all kinds of people there. But anyway, and the government always has something to say you are that you really aren't. I mean, they tried it with me, and I had to get it removed off my records and shit. They just did it to try to prevent me from getting a parole. And I had to fight like hell to remove the information that they just casually threw into my jacket. Got it removed nonetheless because it was not true. However, I would find myself sitting there looking at some of these guys that the government says were made men, and some of them were bosses of families, crime bosses, okay? So if I was to believe everything or anything that the government said about some of these guys, I would have to believe that these men could have me killed for simply disrespecting them or anybody in their family. Murdered. I could be murdered for that, okay? Then I could sit there and look at these guys and say, I don't get it. They got some prosecutor, some fucking little shitbag prosecutor that just got out of law school, goes in the court, calls them bad names, even manufactures many times, not always, manufactures evidence to use against them to try to win a conviction, and throws them in jail, treats them like shit, totally disrespects them, calls them names, and doesn't even need a bodyguard to go home. Yet, let the average person say that stuff, he would get murdered. I can't figure that one out. I just can't figure that one out. Never have been able to. You know, same goes for street gangs. Some of the street gangs that are peddling drugs and stuff, the government says, oh, these guys, they killed X amount of people and they're murderers and this, that, and the other. But none of the district attorneys that mistreat them and call them names and push them around like punks and throw them in prison, none of them get killed. I don't understand it. Something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. You know?
I just got a message from Eva. She's calling in. She's be dialing in right now.
Cool.
From Australia.
But I don't know, brother. These are just some of my thoughts. I put them out there because some of these things, to me, you know, I look at some of these things and I ask myself, well, why is that? Why could I get killed for disrespecting someone? Yet, some people in the government can put people away for a long time. Yeah, on manufactured evidence a lot of times. Not always. And get away with it.
Yeah, we got Eva. Are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Me and Hermes are live right now. Got a couple of callers. I'm going to mute them for a minute, and then we'll come back to them. But,
Can you hear me?
What's going on with over
time?
There now? Yeah, you're on. They had that protest over the weekend. Excellent. How'd that work out?
Yeah, no. Excellent. We had a couple of major rallies over the weekend here in Australia. In Queensland, there were several thousand riders turned up outside Parliament House to voice their absolute disgust at these laws. And in other capital capital cities across Australia, a number of other riders also gathered. Now, what is most interesting about the response from the government is the absolute arrogance and contempt they've shown for anyone who's standing up to them. They've actually publicly come out and said that anyone who turned up to protest was wasting their time and their opinions meant nothing to the government at all. So pretty arrogant, I think, of the government to come out with those kind of comments, particularly in light of the laws which were assented to on the 27th of November. I believe we spoke about these last time, an increase in occupations which 1% motorcyclists were not allowed to work in, so building and construction and tow truck business and second-hand car dealers, so a huge range of industries they're no longer allowed to work in. Those laws are now actually law. So these, you know, the laws are going to impact on a massive range of innocent people who haven't done anything wrong, and literally because of the government legislating them as criminals, will now not be able to have an honest job, won't be able to work, won't be able to support their families, pay their mortgages. I mean, the ramifications of this are endless, really.
Eva, this is Hermes. Good to hear your voice again. I'm just gonna make a statement, and I'm not necessarily looking for an answer from you, but I picture things like this in my head when I think about the things that are happening in this country as well as Australia, where a handful of people, a small handful of people that are in government, think that they are so powerful that they get that arrogant and they're going to tell everybody what to do. I sometimes think that I do television stuff and I produce TV and I do video and stuff, and I've been thinking about doing a TV show where, like, thousands of people show up, the regular people, the common folk, the workers, show up at these politicians' private residences and hold them accountable. I think that, you know, towards the end of that show, that movie, I think that if towards the end of that movie, it would have to end somehow with the politicians that were left actually reversing all of that kind of policy and bringing things back to where they were before they tried to take over the world and tell people what to do. I've really been throwing that around, that idea to do a TV show as such, kind of almost in line with that movie that we were talking about a little earlier. I don't know if you'd seen it, but there was a movie called Streets, Gangs of New York, and that basically had that factor into it, where the super rich and the people here, they called it Tammany Hall, where they started, the politicians really started to get heavy-handed. In the end of the movie, the people just had enough, took arms and went over to their houses and trashed the places and stole all their stuff and killed the ones that were the worst. And I'm thinking that would make a good a movie. And I think it would end up, what do you think?
I think that from a movie point of view, it would probably be quite entertaining and would certainly get a lot of people watching. But from a reality point of view, that's almost what the government expects these motorcyclists to do. In fact, on Sunday, can you believe this, the Premier lives on an ordinary street in an ordinary suburb. They actually blocked off his street with police and a sign so nobody could go down the street near his house. That is the mentality of this government. They actually already fear that people will do that and are putting things in place publicly to make out that motorcyclists are a threat to their safety and therefore should be feared and therefore need to be legislated against. So it's really interesting, the idea that you've had, because it almost seems like Newman and Blay, the Attorney General, in fact, all of Queensland government, I wouldn't be surprised if they had watched that movie that you just made reference to. That's probably where they've got a lot of their information from, along with the Sons of Anarchy TV show. So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you'd almost think that they're living in a fictional world.
Well, one of the things, you know, even one of the things that I learned early on, even at the schoolyard, I mean, you know, I don't run an area, I don't have a gang, I don't have any of that stuff. But one of the things I did learn as a youngster was that if you're arguing with someone, you can argue for an hour, a day, a week, a month. You can both have good points, and then one side may at some point say, well, you know what, I'm kind of sick of arguing. I'm just going to make demands. I'm going to dictate. I'm going to take control of the argument and dictate. And what I found was that when one party takes that position and refuses to listen to reason and wants to just dictate, when the other party reached over and grabbed him by the throat and punched him in the eye, things changed. That arrogant bastard changed his opinion. He changed his dictatorship. He changed the way he was behaving. That's odd, isn't it? Seems to work.
I think in some situations it absolutely would work. And the interesting thing, actually, I am laughing because, funnily enough, what you're saying is almost what started this whole thing. Now, I'm not sure if Brad spoke about the Broadbeach brawl. Did you hear about that? That there was a fight on the Gold Coast in Queensland where some 1% bikies, then they had a little tiff with each other, but it certainly wasn't anything scary in the general scheme of things. But the police showed up, and when the video evidence that we've seen is some motorcyclists standing around kind of looking at each other going, what's going on? And the police racing towards them with their tasers out and shouting at them to behave. Now, what happened after that incident is two or three of them were arrested, and the rest of them went and stood outside the police station. Now, this is the kind of show of force that you're talking about and standing up to them and saying, you know, we're here and we're going to have a go. Now, the police, the way they interpreted that was these guys are a threat to our power. They're a threat to our authority. And the police, it seems, from what we've gathered, is that they were so frightened of what these guys could or might do. That's what kick-started this ridiculous legislation that they have enacted. Now, it's completely unwarranted, and you'd almost think that the way the government's behaving is like a frightened little boy in a schoolyard, you know, but they've got the power of the state behind them, and unfortunately they've got the power of the police behind them, and they've got the, to a degree, the justice system, although if they actually produced evidence and it went through the courts, the whole thing would, you know, fall on its head. But the way they've made the legislation is that they just go, oh, this guy's scary, we don't like him anymore, we'll just put him in jail. And, you know, 23-hour lockdown in a pink jumpsuit on, you know, no evidence, no chance of being released until it goes through the court system. And then, of course, he'll probably be found to not be a threat, not guilty, and released. But how much time have they been locked up? Now, for the public to come back and fight that in the way you suggest would require the kind of protest we saw in, you know, in Egypt against their government, where millions of people turn up and those people are completely willing to be arrested and, you know, tased by the police and punished by the state for standing up essentially for what should be basic civil liberties.
Do we lose
you? Do we lose you? Are you still there?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Yes. The line does seem a little unclear on Skype. Now, something else that might be of interest to you guys, you would have the Harley owners group in the US, Harley-Davidson riders. Yeah. Now,
they're called the Harley owners group. Pogs,
yeah,
for short.
Yep, they're the ones. Yep. The Australian group, they're all through Australia, and Queensland also has their own branch of HOG. Now, they've basically come out almost supporting the government's agenda by saying to riders that they should take care not to let any of these members of 1% clubs go anywhere near their rides for fear that they're infiltrating to do their drug deals and, you know, absolutely ridiculous statements like this. Now, for HOG to come out basically and support some kind of political agenda and law and order campaign, which is completely unwarranted and unjustified and unsupported by any evidence, I think is quite Well, it's quite unprecedented, really. You'd think that for an organisation who would essentially supply motorcycles to a lot of people who do belong to these clubs, you'd think they would be the top ones supporting the rights of these people to ride with their friends and be a part of the community and accepted in the community. So I'm not sure what you guys would think about that from the US point of view. I mean, is that something that you would ever see in America?
Well, let me take that first, Phil, if you don't mind. On the Harley-Davidson's owner groups out here, it's called HOG. Most of the guys that belong to that organization are like a lot of cops, firemen, a lot of businessmen.
Going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah, people in America anyway, they seem to think that they're better than other people. You know, we have that like yuppie, you know, hey, look at me. I can spend $30,000 on a motorcycle. They're really not bikers. These guys, you know, buy a $30,000 motorcycle so they can show off that they can buy a motorcycle. Many of them don't even know how to ride. But, so they're already in bed with the government, so to speak. You know, and most of them are wusses. I'll use that instead of the word I normally would use out of respect to you and other women out there right now.
Yep.
But you get me. So it doesn't surprise me that they would run to the side of law enforcement like the little bitches they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that really, I mean, I guess we weren't surprised, but it is so disgusting the way we see it that they would stand up and protect their own backs rather than saying, you know, this harassment of motorcyclists, which is still ongoing. There's, you know, still people being pulled over and asked to reveal their tattoos and being photographed who haven't done anything wrong at all, and that any motorcyclist, regardless of their political persuasions, could actually endorse that kind of behaviour. But certainly it does sound like HOG in the US are the same as how HOG are over here, which is very disappointing. And at the moment, we're going to all be contacting HOG Australia and telling them that we find it absolutely despicable that they would be supporting anything of these lines. Of course, it won't make the slightest bit of difference, given they probably all are, you know, ex-policemen, and nothing against accountants or white-collar people who want to ride motorcycles. But, you know, predominantly, I think a lot of them are. It's a lifestyle and it's an image choice. And one thing we've noticed over here is they've romanticised this bad boy biker image, the bikes they ride, the gear they wear, the way they act, you know. But when it comes to the crunch, they're suddenly thinking, oh, we don't want to be identified as, you know, bad boys. We're really the good guys here, but we want to look like the bikies. And, it just seems incredibly ridiculous.
It is. It is exactly the way you just said it. It's like they want to, identify as, like, you know, a culture that they really have no clue what it's really about, because one of the biggest parts of that culture is the honor and the being a solid, upstanding person. And people in the Hog Owners Association are anything but that.
Yes.
Many of them that I've met are just like, you know, they're like little women. I mean, you know, they're just women on motorcycles. And I don't mean I don't mean that all women are weak or anything. I mean, but these are, I would say maybe women masquerading as men, let's say, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I understand where you're coming from. I am a motorcyclist. I do ride myself, and I have a number of female friends that ride. And I think that certain people really do deserve the negative comments that are made about them in line with, you know, riding like girls or having attitudes. And I know I shouldn't say it myself, being female, but you can see it, you know. People who are afraid to stand up for what's right, afraid to stand up for their beliefs, and who won't come out publicly and say that things are wrong for fear of what will happen to them or that their reputation will be tarnished in some way. Whereas for me, you know, integrity and accountability and justice, they're really important values. And I think everyone has a duty to stand up for that. But there seems to be, well, quite a lot of motorcyclists, unfortunately, who try and mimic these images that they have in their head, probably based on movies, actually, where they have, you know, the whole stream of riders heading down the highway, freedom, you know, fabulous lifestyle choice. And then when it comes to the crunch, they don't want to be met at the end of it by cops with guns and tasers. They want to go back to their safe jobs. And, yeah, it's a bit of a shock for them to discover that they can't go on their Sunday ride because of the actions of the police. But what I think is absolutely disgusting is the fact that the actions of the police are wrong. So they shouldn't be standing up and saying, we're not like that, don't attack us. They should be saying, the police are wrong, the laws are wrong. None of these people who are being targeted deserve to be harassed and deserve to have this attention from the police, because the last time I looked in our justice system, you have to commit a crime and you have to be convicted of that crime to be labelled a criminal. And then once you've served your time, you become part of the community again. It's one of the fundamental aspects of justice systems across the Western world, where, and probably in a lot of, you know, other places as well to a similar degree, but you know, people, they're punished and then they return to society. Now, what these laws do is they're saying that people are criminals based on who they are. There's no trial. It's simply because of their profile or their image. Then these people are now, you know, lepers. They should be vilified and shunned by the community. And then you have these other guys who've been mimicking them saying, oh, hang on, you know, we like this bad boy image when they weren't really criminals, but now they're apparently criminals as far as the government are concerned. Suddenly we don't want to be like them. Yet they won't be selling their motorcycles. They won't be putting up their black leather jackets with their patches on them, and, you know, they won't stop sauntering around the cafes on the weekend. What they want to do is say to the police, you know, don't pull us over, we're the good guys, and, you know, go get them. And they're forgetting this fundamental point that these other guys aren't criminals unless they have actually committed crimes and been declared so through the justice system. And, you know, the vast majority of these people wouldn't, you know, they would never have committed a crime in their life. For them, it's a, you know, their culture and their life and their family, and, you know, built on these complete other values that a lot of people wouldn't understand. But the small element of them that may have been engaged in criminal activity, the same as, you know, 99.9% of the rest of the population, if they have been involved in crime, then get the evidence, take them to court, go about it the right way. Don't vilify a section of the community and then encourage other people to, you know, support the government agenda based on that. It's absolutely, yeah, disgusting situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, Eva, I don't know about so much about Australia, but this may sound familiar to you. You seem to stay on top of what's going on in Australia. Here in America, I keep telling people that the biggest criminals we have in America are not running around all tattooed. They're not riding motorcycles. They're not riding horses. They're not riding anything other than big Cadillacs. They don't even swear. They don't even use bad language. They use very refined language that they learned in places like Harvard University. They learned at Princeton and at Yale. And they dress in the finest clothes. They don't wear leather. They wear men's designer suits. They wear crafted suits in the best silks. And they speak perfect English. And then they find themselves a way into the Congress, the Senate, and the White House, and they steal more. And they ravage more. And they hurt more people than any one motorcycle club or any 5,000 motorcycle clubs combined. And yet, they want to make themselves out to be the good guys. Does that sound familiar?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. It is something that that we have found. There's been, well, I mean, back in the 1980s, I'm not sure how much you guys know about Australian political history, but Queensland, the very state that has this problem now, in the 1980s they had a premier called Joe Bjelke-Petersen. Now, he was in power for around 10 or so years, and he, along with the police commissioner, who's the top police officer in the state, at that time, they were involved in so much corruption that it was just impossible for anyone to even fight it because, you know, they are in charge. No one could investigate them because they are in charge. The police themselves were so caught up in it. It took 10 years for an inquiry to be started, which happened in 1989, I believe, the Fitzgerald inquiry. And they found that the Premier and the Police Commissioner and a huge number of other people involved were corrupt, and I believe a number of them were jailed. And this is something that kick-started back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Crime and Misconduct Commission in Queensland, which was an independent body set up to investigate corruption of politicians and the police, amongst other things, as well as they would look at organised crime. Now, Queensland is slightly different to a number of other Australian states, is that they only have one House of Parliament. So when laws are passed, it only goes through the one House or the one level, and that's it, their law. So there's no double checking. There's no ability for a second lot of politicians to look at it and say, no, this is wrong, let's have a think about it. It's basically the Premier, if he's got a majority, which our current Premier does, they say, here's the law we want, the Parliament, it's passed. There's no way ever that it's not going to be passed. Now, what happened back in the Bjelke-Petersen days is all these terrible laws were enacted, which, you know, Queensland was a police state. It was dangerous for people to live in. People were harassed and beaten up by the police. Protesters, I think they were actually banned at some point. So if you wanted to protest, you were automatically arrested. So they had, after this all came out, they put in place the Crime and Misconduct Commission. They put in place a number of parliamentary committees which were meant to review all legislation before it was passed. So it was a bit of a check and balance to ensure, you know, corruption couldn't happen and that legislation that passed was actually fair. Now, what Newman has done is he has bypassed these committees with enacting these laws, and he actually got the chairman of the Crime and Misconduct Commission, so the independent body, he got the chairman to come out publicly and say he supported these laws, despite them violating the fundamental principles of the justice system and despite the government bypassing the checks and balances. Now, what is really interesting about this is it didn't end there. After his name's Mr. Levy, made his article, the Parliamentary Crime and Misconduct Committee, who were one of the, you know, check and balances that involved when things seem a bit sus, they started asking questions. And Mr. Levy said to this committee, I did not speak with the government at all on this subject. I did it off my own back. I decided that I wanted to make a statement here. Now, 4 days later, he came back to them and said, I made a mistake. I actually did speak with someone in the government, but it wasn't about these laws. They didn't ask me to, blah, blah, blah. Now, it goes further than that. Not long after that, they called him back again, and he changed his story again, and slowly, bit by bit, you know, the government might have said, perhaps you'd like to ring this particular journalist, perhaps you might like to mention this, but he still tried to make it all above board, and clearly it was suspicious. Now, the Parliamentary Crime and Misconduct Committee, they called in the government advisor who was meant to have spoken with Mr. Levy. Now, Mr. Anderson, he gave evidence, and he contradicted everything that Mr. Levy had said. Oh, yes, the government did ask Mr. Levy to make the statement. They did ask him to support the laws. They suggested to him that he say this and this and this, and all of this information came out. And the government's response, they said the committee was biased, and they sacked the committee. So the committee who was looking for truth and clearly unravelling this disgusting, you know, set of affairs which showed the, I would say it would be corrupt behaviour, there's no doubt about it. They just sacked the committee and said, oh no, it's giving us an unfavourable response, we don't like that. Now, that caused up quite a stir, and I believe that it could even be against the legislation which governs this committee. The government can't just sack a committee and replace it on a whim. But the people that were put back into there are the Premier's friends, essentially. They're people who will give a favourable outcome should something else be questioned about, you know, protecting the people from corruption and politicians being accountable. Then in this government, there is no way that they can be accountable. You know, there's no one there to actually stand up and say, this is wrong, or this is not how things should be, because if the government's faced with that, they're just getting rid of them. And a lot of people, I don't think, can actually see through that. They're not reading behind the lines and realising the damage that that kind of behaviour has on the state, the ordinary citizens, and, you know, this whole, you know, realm of other implications from it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, how do you actually combat that unless the government themselves calls another inquiry, which obviously isn't going to happen when they're the ones with the brunt of it? We've got another 18 months or so to an election, and people simply will not stand up outside Parliament and protest to the extent that they would in Egypt, or, you know, I'm not sure how many guys you would get turned up if it happened in the US. Certainly other countries around the world, when you see protests, they have, you know, maybe 500,000 people or at least the tens of thousands. Here, it's really difficult due to the... I'm not sure, it's something in the way the Australians think. It's difficult for us to get large numbers of people actually standing up for their rights physically in front of Parliament. And I expect it's because most people feel they have a lot to lose and the government are still going to win, and there's not really any way that they can protect themselves from a government who are just hell-bent on doing what they want without any accountability.
It's the same thing that's going on here, because everybody believes in the American dream. There is no American dream anymore.
No.
I mean, let me play this clip real quick. Yeah.
Wait, there is a dream, Philip. The thing is, people ain't waking up from the dream. They're still in bed sleeping and dreaming. They need to wake up and take action.
Well, you have to be asleep to believe it, but this guy tells his rights right here.
That is one of the issues.
Education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want... They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. Who are just... enough to run the machines and do the paperwork, just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is built. The table is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These people of modest means continue to elect rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? Nobody seems to course, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners care. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I think in Australia it's a similar thing. People think that we're a free country, that people have rights. That's quite a big one. That we're one of the best places to live on earth. Yet we have no rights in Australia. We don't have even a Bill of Rights. There's no constitutional protection of our rights. They're common law rights, which came, you know, from England originally. But the government can legislate over them. There's nothing to protect the people in Australia, protect any freedom they may have, or certainly any freedom or rights they think they should have. And the Australian dream, you know, similar to the American dream, it exists for a lot of people as long as they comply with the rules that are set down by the government, and as long as they don't stand up for themselves or don't do things that aren't conforming with the, you know, standard populist beliefs. And certainly something like being a member of a motorcycle club, a, you know, 1% club, as opposed to Hogs or Ulysses is another one we have here, and other, you know, Sunday riding groups, then unless you conform generally to what people say, the government, they're not going to tolerate that, you know. They're always going to do something to try and make people fit in with what society says that people should be, how they think they should behave, and what values they think they should have. And, you know, things like tattoos, they've been around for how long, but they're still not publicly accepted by a lot of people, which I think is quite crazy given how many ordinary people have tattoos and how many women have tattoos these days. It's not something out of the ordinary, yet still there's a huge range of conservatives, and unfortunately our governments at the moment are conservative governments. Then they consider these things unacceptable and something to set people apart from others. You know, you don't have the rights and freedoms that people think they actually have in this country. It's certainly better than a lot of other places, but, you know, it's people aren't free here and their rights are, you know, something they think they should have but don't exist in the way that they believe they should exist.
Well, yeah, because it's like whatever. See, for the last few years that I know of, and I've been watching this pretty close, but whatever they do there goes to Canada, and then from Canada comes here.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I personally haven't looked out at our influence internationally. I know Australia tends to ignore a lot of stuff from overseas. They, international research, for example, Canada did some research a few years ago into organised crime, and they found that motorcycle clubs have almost nothing to do with organised crime. They're negligible, and the kind of impact that the kind of legislation the government's enacted, that has no impact on any kind of crime apart from driving those who are actually committing crime underground and vilifying and, you know, punishing a whole range of innocent people and not having any impact on the outcomes that they want to achieve. But the government, you know, ignores international research and international experiences on these kinds of things. So I guess it will actually be quite interesting what happens here if it does go to other places. Although
believe me, we got a guy here with the ATF who says he's in daily conversations with the people writing the laws over there to bring them over here. He's in California, right? He's up north. He's about 100 miles north of me, but yeah, he's with the ATF.
Yeah.
Hermes said to tell you, Hermes. Herbert said to tell you, well, he sent me a text, but his phone was dying, and he said that he's waiting for that info.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if they think they'll work, they'll try anything. Our high court, the highest court in our state, the High Court of Australia, then we're expecting a challenge to be launched in the next few weeks before Christmas. So the United Motorcycle Council, they represent 14 of the declared clubs in Queensland. They've actually engaged a top barrister who defeated similar laws, but not as draconian, in New South Wales a few years ago. Those laws actually needed evidence to be presented to the court, and they went through the judicial system, but they were still deemed to be unconstitutional. Now, this top barrister, who's pretty highly respected, he's going to be in charge of a high court challenge, and I believe he's getting his legal team together at the moment. We have been hoping that... Sorry, my baby having a sook. We have been keenly interested in hearing how the lawyers are going to approach this. So hopefully in the next few days we'll actually get some more information on this High Court challenge. It would be absolutely fantastic to have all of the legislation knocked on the head and, you know, the government told that it is ridiculous and they just simply can't do what they're doing. But, of course, the issue we have in Australia, and this puts us in a unique situation, I think, is that because we don't have a Bill of Rights, things like the right to association, it's not actually protected in our constitution, in as much as saying, you know, you have a right to associate. But there are ways that the lawyers can imply rights from our constitution, and I think there's you know, things like political speech that's been implied before as being a right in Australia. And once these I think this will be a really key.
Oh, I think we lost her.
Sorry, am I on the line again?
Yeah, I thought we lost you.
I just lost
my
thing.
I got a couple of people who might want to ask some questions. Art, did you have any questions for Eva?
Not really. I'm kind of glad to see him standing up and fighting.
Yeah.
They did that in Europe, and it seemed to work, that big protest in France, when they jammed the streets so well. So hopefully the Australians can do it too.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're
certainly doing our best to stand up
We had one of the things that they wrote into that law was the three people. We have the same thing here. If three people are standing on the corner and they think you look suspicious, all they got to do is call in, in my case, it's three or four cars that show up after I get questioned. But,
it is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think the scary thing really is the laws can be applied to any people. And while the general community think, oh, it's just the bikies, you know, I don't know anyone, they're not impacting on me, then they just ignore it and they think that it's fine. But the reality is, when New South Wales introduced the anti-association laws a couple of years ago, the very first person who was arrested under these laws was a young disabled fella who was hanging out with his friends. Now, absolutely, you know, disgusting that a young lad who may have been involved in some petty crime, you know, would have his freedom deprived and be subject to these ridiculous anti-association laws, which they were saying would be used on serious criminals and organised crime, but they're not. They will use them on whoever they want to use them for, and it doesn't surprise me to hear that you guys also have a similar, you know, three-person rule. It seems to be the government's favoured way of controlling people.
Yeah, what it is, because they, like here, they've also asked me to take off my jacket because they want to see my tattoos, and I tell them I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
Well, take off your jacket then. Well, you got a warrant? If you don't have a warrant, I'm going to take off my jacket.
Yeah.
Am I free to go?
Yep.
Am I being detained or am I free to go?
Yeah. So in Australia, that's another thing I think which is different with the American rights compared to our rights, is that we don't have the right to say to the police, no, I don't want to have my tattoos photographed. Now, the police have recently come out and said, oh, no, you can refuse to comply. We can't enforce that unless we have detained you and arrested you. But they have enacted this fabulous little section in the Police Powers and Responsibilities Act where all they have to do is have reasonable suspicion that you're a participant in one of these declared clubs. Now, for them to have reasonable suspicion is that they think you look like a bikie, therefore you ride a motorcycle and you look like you might have tattoos. So men with beards, anyone with an open-faced helmet, anyone who, you know, black with a jacket with some patches on it, all of these things, as far as the police are concerned, could give rise to a reasonable suspicion that you're a bikie. And suddenly, you have no rights. They can stop you on the side of the road. They can ask to look for your tattoos. They can photograph them. And any refuser would be refusing to comply with the police direction and a resulting arrest. So there's kind of contradictory information. On one hand, the police are saying, oh, no, you've got rights. You can refuse. But the other hand, all they have to do is pull out this card which says, we think that you might be, you know, a participant in a criminal organisation, which is what they've called these declared thugs. Now, the scary thing as well is that a participant is defined as any person really that's had anything ever to do with any bike club. So if you've ever gone on a poker run or attended a charity event organised by one of these clubs, then they can label you a participant. So it's really quite broad and can be applied to pretty much anybody that the police want to apply it to.
Hey, Art, so we're guilty, huh, Art?
Yeah.
Definitely. Guilt by association.
Absolutely.
Exactly right.
Why a lot of my shirts have known us. That's why a lot of my shirts have known associate on the back.
Yeah, that would probably get you arrested over here.
Some of them came from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is ridiculous. And I mean, one of the other laws, I'm not sure if we mentioned about wearing any apparel or accessories that relate to any of the declared clubs. So if you have a belt buckle that's, you know, a rebel belt buckle, or an item of clothing that says 1% on it, or, you know, anything, Hells Angels, Bandidos, Comancheros, anything of the obvious ones. But they've actually declared a club, a declared organisation called the Scorpions. Now, no one seems to have been able to find a 1% club called the Scorpions, but I do know that there is a, I think it was an 80s band that was called the Scorpions. Now, if anyone had any item of clothing that said Scorpions on it, they would be kicked out of any licensed premises. And if they don't leave, they can be subject to a big fine or jail, and the publican can actually be subject to a huge fine as well. So they're limiting the ability of people to actually go out in public and, you know, drink in a restaurant with their friends, or, you know, anywhere that sells alcohol, essentially, who might be wearing anything that is linked to any of these clubs or any, I guess, arbitrarily declared organisations, some of which don't even exist in the way that they say they do.
Yeah, but it still amazes me how they can pick and choose what they want and nobody says nothing. Because that, to me, that law, they keep talking about the Vikings, but that law is basically written for anybody, not just one group.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Motorcycle. It's a culture. It's not a fly by night thing. It's not a one day thing. It's a culture.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's vilification of a subculture by the conservatives. And you know, you look at the conservatives, they tend to be, you know, really big on their law and order campaigns, and certainly very straight laced, law abiding. I mean, you know, law abiding in that technical sense. Obviously, most people are completely law-abiding, but they're very much, you know, into conformity, you know, even, you know, drinking, swearing, smoking, all those kind of things, very kind of, I guess, looking at the most straight-laced of the people, and anyone who steps outside a certain mould, they, you know, don't fit, and they don't like, and they're not interested. And you know, I know some very nice conservative people, and a lot of them, they're very family orientated and they're very interested in the community. But the way they view other people because of their values is really quite frightening. You know, they don't accept other people who are different. They think that they must have something to hide or must be involved in some kind of illegal activity because they're not conforming to the exact profile that they think people should conform with. And there seems to be this lack of empathy for other cultures or, you know, other people, and a complete lack of comprehension about how other people think. So, you know, I mean, I don't agree with all cultures, and I don't agree with how, you know, other people in some situations might behave, but I certainly would try not to judge them. And certainly if I was in a position of power, I wouldn't be legislating that those people were criminals simply because I didn't agree with what they do. You just have to bear with me a moment. I have to go rescue my child. I think she's done something. Hang on.
Hey, Phil, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I wanted to bring up something. If you know anybody going to the VA hospital in San Diego, they have a run this Sunday for the for up there.
Yeah.
But also, with the VA has offered the parabolic chamber, the pressure chambers,
right,
for treatment of wounds.
For
and
treatment of what?
For treatment of wounds or like
yeah.
I had a friend that
I heard that.
Had a, but they're not putting it out to the people. They're not telling them
no,
about it.
No, because they don't want to get overwhelmed is what I heard.
Yeah, some of the doctors are against it. That's one of the big things, but it really works real well, and I'm trying to get the word out to the VA people, the vets, that it's
okay.
there for them if they want it. It will help them heal open wounds.
Do you have that information handy? Send it to me in an email. I'll post it for you right now.
Okay, I'll see if I can kick it up.
Okay, because we even got – yeah, send it to my email because we even got we even got two guys in China listening again tonight.
Okay.
But,
Go
ahead.
Saying I know it was getting late, but I wanted to kind of bring that up to let people know that it's a service that's available to them, and that even though they're not being told about it a whole lot, it's there.
Yeah, no, they're not telling anybody about anything really.
Yep.
But no, we're actually just we're recording right now, so when Eva comes back, I'm gonna let her know that. You're more than welcome to come back anytime. And same thing with you, Art. Don't be a stranger.
Okay. Well, I'm at work, so I'm going to have to get back in there.
Okay.
But it's been a pleasure. Good to hear you guys again.
You too. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. You guys ride safe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, Eva.
Hello, I'm back.
Actually, right now, we ran out of time, but if
no
you
worries.
Can get a hold of Brad, Brad went out of town for a little bit, one of his one of his adventures. So if you want to join us Thursday,
like
if you want to join us Thursday, like an hour earlier than when you actually called in.
And I will actually be unavailable on Thursday, but certainly if you would like to discuss, then next Tuesday I would be available again. But, definitely keep in touch.
Yeah, we will. And I thank you for calling in, and I know it's what time is it there actually right now?
Now, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
On Wednesday.
Okay.
3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon.
Okay. So you're almost a day ahead of me.
Yes.
Yeah, no. My ultimate plan when I retired was to take a trip there and just hang out for till my money or whatever ran out. But I don't know now.
Well, you can come to Tasmania. We're a different state, and we like motorcyclists here.
Yeah.
So there's other places apart from Queensland to go. Thank goodness.
Well, I'll talk to you about that offline sometime, but. Again, I thank you for calling in, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. And you have a good week.
No worries.
Thank you. Good night. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.